What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30 winner, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host. Yesterday, I found out there's a 40 Under 40 list from Fortune.
Oh, magazine. Here we fucking go.
And now here's the thing. Here's the plan. Here's the plan, you guys.
Yeah, listen, here's the plan, everybody. Everybody be cool. Chat, be cool.
The plan is multi-tiered, all right? I've been already scheming, working on next year, trying to get one Blessing Adeoye Jr. on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list.
You got to. Right?
I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try. But now,
you got to accomplish 40 something. Under 40. He just has to fucking do something first. That's all it is.
We can say things. We can make things sound like he did more than he has. You know what I mean? Look, it worked for me. All right. So then 40 under 40 from Fortune, we got to try to get one Greg Miller.
Sure. I'm running out of years.
And yeah. And then once.
How great is it that Nick's already too old for that one, though? Dude sucks. We hate him. You know what I mean?
We get you that, and then eventually get me that, and then eventually get blessed. Get
blessing that. Yeah. We can be the Triple Crown Derby winners. Yeah, I love it too. You know what else I love? Tim Geddes.
Yeah.
There's no rules in quarantine anymore. Because
I don't know.
Nah, there's no rules when you're drinking quarantine. No. All right, yes, wear your mask. Don't lick random people. Yes, we're on the social distance. We're doing all that. Exactly. But this morning, day got away from us. Big news day here, so I probably shouldn't even waste time talking about this, but I'm going to. I was getting the news done, and Jen's like, okay, it's my first call. Oh, we didn't have breakfast. And I'm like, don't worry, I'll just grab a breakfast bar later. She's like, I'm going to do the same thing. She went and grabbed a bar, and then, whatever. You know, Cliff Bar or Good RX, I forget what we got. And she went in there, and so she's doing that thing. So I was like, oh, shit, I got 10 minutes before Games Daily. I went over there, I looked at the RX bars, and I was like, I'm not feeling that. And I opened up the freezer looking for egg bites, right? Egg bites. Opened up the refrigerator, saw like 8 leftover chicken wings, and I fucking destroyed those over the sink before
the show. That's the morning we got going on right now.
I am packed with protein and power. Anything can happen today, you know?
I love that.
Good. I've had one giant iced coffee and 8 chicken wings, and I'm ready to fucking rock your face off with the news of the day.
I love it, Greg. Before you do that, I know that it is a big news day, but there are two things that I want to bring to your attention specifically. Sure. One of them is Drew Baca 1313 in the chat says, the only thing left for Nick to win is the shuffleboard tournament at his retirement home.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I love. But
we could get him into the AARP not dead yet. You know what I mean? That's the list we could get him on probably.
Exactly. The not dead yet list. Nick would be on that list for now. But I need to let you know something that happened to us at 6 a.m. At possibly 5:55 a.m. today. Sure, okay. All right?
Yeah.
So the rumors were abound that that Nintendo was going to do something. And enough people that I trust were like, it's happening. And I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to be there. I assembled the dream team. I got me, Imran, Bless, and Andy in there. Kev was running the show. We were excited for it. We were ready for it at 6 a.m., right?
How much Rebecca Valentine was there in the Imran stream?
Zero. It was very dark.
Boo. Yes. Don't like that at all. Yeah.
I missed that, but what I did not miss was the four of us kind of talking to each other, and for a while I was trying to get Kevin's attention because I was trying to ask him a question of like, hey, like, do you want to be a part of this thing or whatever? And I asked him and he's not responding, and it was really weird because normally Kevin's right there. Eventually Kevin does respond, and he literally just goes, hey guys, what's up? And we're like, who the fuck is that? What? It's 6 a.m. and I'm tired. I don't know. What do you want from me?
Tired voice. No, I know that one.
And we're like, what the fuck? Like, your tired voice. Like, there's something up with this. And he goes, I don't know, man. I just don't know. Kevin has this fucking voice modulator thing that he's been playing around with. It crashed. And instead of just like doing one of the fun voices, it literally just pitched his voice down like 2 changes. So like, We thought it could have been his tired voice, but can you imagine this, Greg, having to deal with Kevin at 6 a.m., him thinking that we are fucking with him, but really, we think he's fucking with us because he sounds like not like a demon monster. He sounds just like Kev, give him a demo of the demon monster, of the Kylo Ren.
I think that's this voice. Can you hear it now? Or am I sounding, because I can't hear it right now. You can just hear it.
Yes.
That's what he sounded like this morning?
No, it was different.
It sounded a little bit between those two things, which was the fucking funniest thing in the world. You need to be stopped. You need to be goddamn stopped. Anyway, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Kevin, what happened before then? Because I saw the chat freak out that the audio was dead. Do you know what happened there?
Yeah, I had it set to the wrong setting.
Could they hear anything?
They couldn't hear me.
Ah, okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
Enough about Kevin. Demonic voices, chicken wings, and Tim's amazing jacket. Let's talk about Tony Hawk reviews, major Mario happenings, and the Division Endgame update, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on the platform of your choice, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free, you can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday, and of course, you can get your questions on the air. It's a great way to support us, and support your ego, because don't you want your name read? Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can go over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where you can watch us record the shows live. Of course, you have to listen to the ad and you don't get the post show, but you have the benefit of correcting us when we transgress. That's right. Your job is to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday.
No transgressions.
We love you. No transgressions. Forgive us these trespasses, as they say in church.
Oh, that laugh. That fucking laugh.
I'm the Batman. I'm wearing my Batman shirt. Housekeeping for you today. I'm streaming Avengers today. That's right. Marvel's Avengers More. I beat the story yesterday. Played a lot of Endgame last night. Going to continue on my quest to be the ultimate Avenger, I guess. I don't know what it is going on. No,
to be clear, you do the laugh. I say I love that laugh. And you go, I'm the Batman. Why is that your response?
Because that's how Batman laughs when he scares people.
Got it. Surprised you don't know that, fake man.
I'll be streaming Avengers, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames today at 1:30 Pacific. Swing on over there. Do we want to put that up later on YouTube? You want to see how the content is? Is that a thing? Should I not promise anything?
Don't worry about it going up on YouTube. That probably is a Twitch.
Because that's going to be a long one, too. I'm going to do a few hours.
Yeah, Twitch fun.
That's leading up to Blessings doing his first impressions, right? Kicking that off, trying to make that a weekly on thing like we were talking about. He's doing first impressions of Spellbreak today.
That's not live, though.
Oh, that's not live? Sorry, then. Don't worry about it. I thought that.
That will go up on Friday, though.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to First Impressions if you haven't already. It's an audio feed, and it's a YouTube thing we're doing, and we're trying to be more regular about it, and we love you a lot, and it helps us when you subscribe to things and watch them. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, aka Momo, Blackjack, and the one and only Tom Bach. Today we're brought to you by Brooklinen, Logitech, and Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A Baker 7.
I do like that. I do like that a lot. You know what I mean? It's fucking good. What else can it do, Kevin? Do a Baker's Dozen, but do it in like...
Do the auto-tune, Kev. That's my favorite one.
A Baker's Dozen.
We're like a cool radio show now, guys. And now over to Jen with the weather. She's coming. All right, Lucy, what's going on with the traffic today? All right, number one on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 reviews are up. Tim, right now it has a Metacritic at 9:05 a.m. Pacific time, so about an hour ago, of 88 off of 20 reviews. That's an 88 out of 100 off of 20 reviews. But we will read from VGC, IGN, and GameSpot in a second, but we don't really have to. Tim, you are Tony Hawk's number one fan. You've been freaking out about this forever. Give me your review.
This is it, man. This is one of the best remakes I've ever played. This is one of the rare instances where a remake adds so much to the originals that it is kind of its own experience. We often We often talk about how when old games, right? We have a nostalgia for them. And when you go back and actually play them, they don't feel right. Or it's like, you know, they just, they don't feel how you remember them feeling.
Roasted
look
the glasses.
How you remember them. Yeah, exactly. And we often credit things like sequels or things that come out later, spiritual successors, and be like, this is what we remember that feeling like, right? This goes beyond that. Like, this is the ultimate Tony Hawk experience where the team that made this game cared so damn much and wanted to make sure that this was an amazing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game that makes sense in 2020. And that, to me, is that the little bit of extra care that goes such a long way. We've had a decade of horrible games. And I don't need to go too far into it. If you want to know, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and look up my Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 review. Like, it broke my heart. And you see it in real time as I'm playing the game. Like, it was horrible. And it was such a cash in, like, such a just last ditch effort to just like milk the name as much as possible.
That was something to do with the license, right? Wasn't it too? And all that jazz.
There's a whole bunch going on. But then there's the other thing though, that before that in 2012, there was already a remake of Tony Hawk 1 and 2 that came out, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD. And that was a misstep. Like, at best, that was like a 6.5. This at best is a 9.5. This is fantastic. And a lot of the reasoning for that is the people that made it really looked at it and were like, okay, what needs to be faithful and what needs to be updated? And they made very wise decisions and very wise choices. I think out the gate, the most important thing is this game plays like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4, but it's in the levels and world of Tony Hawk 1 and 2. On top of that, it's beautiful, 60 frames per second. Every single level was crafted in such a loving way of updating it so that it's familiar but new. And a perfect example of that is the hangar, which is the opening level, the airport hangar of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. They've essentially turned it into a Neversoft shrine where there's like it's clean white. I mean, it kind of looks like my theater room, but with like these like almost monuments to all the Neversoft Tony Hawk games. And like the Neversoft logo has this giant banner. And it's just so cool. It's just like, they didn't need to do that, but it means so much to someone like me that grew up with these games and cares so much about the legacy of them. The mall from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 has been redesigned as, designed is what it is. Like, the layout is still the same, but now it's like a rundown abandoned mall that hasn't been seen in forever.
Hilarious.
And it's really fucking cool. Tons of things like that, surprises at every turn that are like really for the hardcore fans. But I think that for people that are new to this, like, there's enough here that it's a damn good time. It's a fun arcade experience. $40.
So you do think it's easy enough to get into, and like, you'll get stuff out of it even if you don't have this nostalgia for it?
The thing about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater that differentiates it from something like Crash Bandicoot is it's actually a great game, and it always was a great game. And it was a great game because it was so accessible and so pick up and play that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is very similar to Mario Brothers in the sense that you give someone a controller, give them 5 minutes, and they get it. Gotcha. They understand what they're doing. Obviously, there's levels to it, and you get better as you go. And I think that this game in particular does a really good job of rewarding you for high-level play. But if you're just like skating around, that's still fun too. Like, that's the thing that makes Tony Hawk such a great experience. And especially with these classic levels, that they're classic for a reason. It's not just nostalgia. Like, and I think that that's another big thing about these remakes, like Vicarious Visions, who also did the Insane Trilogy and all that.
Yeah.
Like, I loved those. Those were awesome. And they were definitely just the same games, but updated. This, like I said earlier, it's the same games but updated, but there's so much more. They added new challenges on top of the challenges that already existed in the levels. Tony Hawk 2 always had, I think, 10 per level. Tony Hawk 1 only had 5. So they added an additional 5 in Tony Hawk 1 levels to make up for it, to add some parity. Just the way you progress through the game and like the way that they're incentivizing you to want to use different skaters for different things and to go back and do the different goals. I'm just like, damn, I'm fucking hooked. Like, I really wanted to try to platinum it by talking about it like this.
Sure.
And there was just no way. I've made a huge dent into it, but
because that's the thing, you got it late, right? In terms of like review code didn't go out super early for this one. It's not like you've had it for a week and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like,
let's see, I've had it 2 full days now and I play it a lot.
And like, I was going to say, that's the thing, right? Like, yeah, you've played a ton of it. You think have you seen every map? This is your review, right? So like in terms mm-hmm. of that, like how do you describe how much of it you've played?
So essentially the career modes, there's two, mm-hmm. there's one for Tony Hawk 1 and one for Tony Hawk 2, and that you access them separately from the same menu. And I've 100%ed both of those.
Damn. Okay.
And that's the thing that's crazy to me is I've 100%ed every challenge you need to do for all the levels in 1, all the levels in 2. And there's still so much more shit for me to do.
Yeah.
And I'm so surprised. Like they modernized it away. No microtransactions, but there's 700 plus challenges to
Holy
do
shit.
That are built into the game that a lot of them are not of real consequence. And I got to be honest, I am hitting a point now where probably 15 hours into this game, I am running out of challenges that I actually am stoked about doing, you know? But like a lot of them are simple things where it's just like, here's a platinum high score on each level. Get that and you unlock the challenge or whatever.
Gotcha.
I love that. All about that. Another one's do every gap in every level. And I'm like, cool, great. I want to do that. But then you start getting like real specific where it's like, use this skater to do this thing in this place. And I'm like, all right, you guys are just trying to pad this out. But I appreciate it. And again, for a $40 title, I didn't expect this much content in it. Like they didn't need to go that hard.
Yeah.
To try to make it feel fleshed out. Like I would have been happy if it was just the original game's content, but it's really not that, man. It's a lot more. Always, you can't talk about Tony Hawk without talking about the music, and
right,
man, it's just chef's kiss Tony Hawk, man. The songs from 1, the songs from 2, they're just as iconic as you remember. All the new songs, they feel so authentically Tony Hawk, which means I don't love all of them, but I haven't turned any of them off. Like I leave them on. I've definitely found a couple new artists that I'm stoked about. Tech Nine's in it, Greg.
Hell yeah.
Got some Tribe Called Quest in it. Some Hobson. It's like there's some stuff where I'm just like, these motherfuckers get it, man. Like,
yeah.
And all the new skaters, like, there's a moment that happens really early in this game. And it's essentially when you first turn it on. You get the iconic intro video, right? That has like the skate video where you see all the skating and Tony Hawk logo. And it starts and it's 4:3 and it does the cute thing of expanding to HD. But what's great about it is just like the other games, it shows all of the skaters like one by one. It's like Tony Hawk, Bob Burnquist, like Jeff Rowley, like going through them all. But they're old now. Like,
yeah.
But like they're legit old dudes. Like but they're skating as old dudes. And in the game, they're old dudes. Like their models are how they look now.
Nice.
And it's just such a cool thing where I love their commitment to just like, hey man, skating is a culture and you don't leave it. Like they're in it right now. And it seamlessly transitions into a fleet of the new young skaters. And seeing them alongside the old guys, it all just feels right. It never feels like, oh man, here's the new shit. It's like, this is a Tony Hawk game. Like they get it. And it made me feel like I was 11 years old again, like freaking out and wanting to know more about all these people. And another thing in line with this that I want to say that I really want to give this game credit for, because I've never seen this level of care put into this type of stuff. The Creator Skater obviously is a big part of the game.
Sure.
My character looks fucking awesome, has a bomber jacket. But
get a screenshot of it. I want to see it.
Yeah, I need to. But the Creator Skater is very, very, very good about inclusion. And it's interesting where you don't choose man or woman. Like they're all just together.
Gotcha.
You don't choose a race. It's all just together. And on top of that, all the faces are either randomized or definitely not in an order you'd expect them to be. Like the white faces aren't top left.
Okay.
Like it, and when you first started off, like it was like an Asian girl was the default for me to choose. And I was just like, what a cool thing that like is so subtle and so just like not that big a deal to people. But even to me seeing this now, I was just like, wow, I just assumed the default face should be a white guy. Like it's cool that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is like taking moves to kind of like try to change things, which you wouldn't necessarily expect from this type of game. I don't know. I was very surprised to see that. There's also a mask you can wear as a creative skater. I'm just like, man, like these guys are doing some really cool stuff here. And
I mean, it's awesome to see that that is down to the core of the game, right? Because we talked about it on one of the shows. I don't think it was with you. It was a Games Daily story, though, about how they were going to change the mute. They changed the name of the move, the mute, right? To honor the guy who was actually just a quiet person. He wasn't actually a mute. And like Tony Hawk asked him, like, do you care that we, and he's like, yeah, I wish you didn't. And he's like, oh, fuck, sorry. And like, there's a thing about that. I like what you're talking about of them being older in the game, right? And the mall being abandoned. And like, this isn't just, hey, here's the same game. It's here's the same bones of the game in 2020, which, yeah, I know, like, obviously will piss people off because a lot of idiots off, you know, go woke, go broke or whatever. But like, that's awesome. That's cool. That shows growth. And it shows like the actual what you're talking about. If you don't leave skater culture, right, you just grow up in it.
Yeah. No, it's. It's fucking, it's a beautiful thing, man. Like, it's so, so good. I can't believe I'm playing a remake this good, let alone a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game this good. Like, it's fucking fantastic.
What a time for Tim Geddes to be alive.
I can't believe it, man. I really can't believe it. But this is really something special that if you've ever had any interest in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater before, you got to pick this one up.
What if I like, you remember I like Thug. Will I like this one?
I mean... So this doesn't have the story.
Yeah. I'm not story and it's not free roam or whatever. Yeah.
So it doesn't have that. And, but like gameplay wise, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater has never been tighter than Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4. The people that made this game knew what needed to be in and knew what didn't. Yeah. The moment you can get off your board, while fun and it added to the storyline, mechanically, it was the only thing, like that was the moment that the game started adding stuff that didn't feel perfect. And it felt a little bit janky. Gotcha. Whereas before it was just perfect smooth butter.
Okay. You're not alone, obviously, in your praise and your review. VGC gave it 5 stars out of 5. Chris Scullion said, the original Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and its sequel are two absolute classics that deserve to be treated with reverence and respect. This new remake does exactly that, preserving what made them so enormously satisfying to play while making them look infinitely better than they ever have, all while ensuring that none of the modern gaming's more problematic trappings are allowed to infiltrate the purity of this wonderful time capsule. Over on IGN, Luke Riley gave it a 9, said Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1+2 is such a tremendous turnaround from 2015's disastrously dismal Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 that it's difficult to believe they share even a shred of DNA. The accessible yet tricky skating is earnest and old school fun. The wonderful looking levels are lovingly designed odes to the past. And the music is like the hearty embrace of an old childhood buddy. It's pretty easy to be cynical about how rapidly selling us one of our favorite games again became a central pillar of Activision's business strategy. But when it's this much fun, I'm finding it impossible to be sour about it. It turns out going backwards has been the best step forward Activision has taken with the Tony Hawk series in nearly 15 years. That's a great turn of phrase. Good job on that one. And then 90 over at GameSpot as well. Matt Pageant there gave it says, because it nails so much about that original Tony Hawk experience, it's really hard to be mad at Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1+2 for any of its downsides. The load times aren't enough to keep you away from the plethora of satisfying combos, and the lack of level goals for every skater isn't enough to keep you from jumping back in with a new character. Playing through the newly remade levels is immensely enjoyable, and that on its own is enough to call Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 a success. However, smart additions and an engaging challenge system make it an experience that's more than just a brief skate through Tony Hawk's past.
Absolutely, man. The only negative things that I could say about it are Tony Hawk games have always, especially the Pro Skater series, has always been so tied to me with like secrets and like hidden characters and like crazy weird shit. Like they had Spider-Man, they had Wolverine, they had Darth Maul, they had like all this weird shit, including a bunch of iconic, to me at least, Tony Hawk original characters like Officer Dick or Private Carrera or Daisy, like these characters that like people know. And I've played this game a fuck ton. Yeah. And I've only unlocked Officer Dick, who we know is the Jack Black. That leaked. No one else. And I'm pretty shocked. Because, like, for how much I've completed in this game and for how many times 100% is seen on my menus, it doesn't feel like I'm unlocking much of consequence. I'm unlocking a fuck ton of different boards and, like, t-shirt options and stuff. But it's, like, it is weird that it seems like on the skater side, at least, we're not getting too much fun, especially when Crash Bandicoot seems like such an obvious tee-up, which, come on, guys. If I get Crash Bandicoot and Tony Hawk, that doesn't even seem fair. But... me and Barrett have been going back and forth a lot over text. There is a Vicarious Visions like emblem hidden in every level.
Yeah.
And it's the only challenge board that if you look at it has question marks. It doesn't tell you what you get from it. So I imagine that there's some secret skaters tied behind that one, and it being Vicarious Visions, like, could definitely be Spyro, or could be Crash or Spyro. But I currently have 18 out of 19, and the game doesn't tell you where you have them. They're being so secret about it, and it's like I'm 99% sure it's in Skater Heaven, and I just can't fucking find it. So we'll see, Greg. But so that's the one thing I don't like about it, and the menu system is just too much. There's just like trying to find something specific is often way harder than it needs to be. Like to find how to create a skater takes you a minute longer than it should.
Yeah.
And that's not just the first time. It's like
every time.
Yeah. It's like, it's weird where I get why some of the decisions are made. Cause like you're either entering into Tony Hawk 1 career or Tony Hawk 2 career or a different thing that they have, but it's like, navigating between it when you're doing the challenges, that the challenges don't treat them like different games. The challenges treat it as it's one experience where it's like, hey, do this jump in Mall, which is a Tony Hawk 1 level, and the other one's like, do this jump in Hangar, which is a Tony Hawk 2 level. I need to then exit back to the menu and go into a different game to do the same type of challenge. It's that's that annoying. little type thing, things
quality
like
of life stuff they yeah. just yeah I didn't get there
but yeah, just the menus are kind of weak, but that's really all I got, man. It's really damn good.
Two things before we get out there. Matt the Wab wrote into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, like I asked. The mute grab was renamed the Weddle grab from where that was a story we did, and I forgot the details of. Thank you very much. And then, in what I think is a first, but obviously somebody will be quick to correct me, I'm sure, in the 9 million episodes we've done of Kind of Funny Games Daily, I want to do squad up right here. Because this squad up from probably Oliver made me laugh out loud today, and I thought it was perfectly in line with what we're talking about. So this is probably Oliver, spelled the way you think, one word, on PlayStation 4. Probably Oliver needs help, of course. If you want to be part of squad up, you write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give us your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. We read here, the best friends come and find you, and you play games together. Like I said, probably Oliver wants PlayStation 4 friends, all one word, and says, what's good, Greg and Tim? I'm absolutely fucking brilliant at Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. For that reason, I need some schmucks to destroy in leaderboards and whatnot. Add me on PSN, probably Oliver, and prove me wrong. Fuck. That's just boom. There it is. Gauntlet toss to you if you think you are good.
That's
at
a
Tony
good,
Hawk Pro Skater.
I love it. Yeah. You know what's funny? It's like I'm not good at video games, but like I'm really good at Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah,
like I'm
you gonna friend him? You gonna get in there? Probably.
I might. I've never been into the multiplayer stuff though. Like,
well, you're a coward then.
Yeah, I am kind of cowardly. The one thing I will say is one of the highest score challenge you have to get is I've done all the high score challenges in the game, but the final one, you have to get 10 million points in 2 minutes. And back in the day, I could have done that with my fucking eyes closed. And I am struggling, Greg.
Yeah,
I'm fucking struggling. The highest I've hit so far is like 6.5. And I'm just like, what happened to me, man?
With you got my old
fat fingers, man.
Yeah, you got them sausage hands.
Sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, but I believe in you, and I think you can do it. And I want you to keep working on that platinum. All right, don't stop. Don't let this slow it down, and then do it on stream.
See, now Avengers is like, take
sure.
It
now,
I
yeah,
to,
well,
I got to a point that I'm like, all right. I had to try to unlock Crash. That was my goal, but I don't think it's going to happen for me.
I appreciate that, and I respect that. You know, now you know that. Well, you've known it before, but the burden of reviewing games, where you're like, I'd love to spend another month with this game, but I have to move on immediately to something else. Yep. Speaking of moving on, number two, Timothy Geddes. 6 a.m. this morning, a Nintendo. Is this a direct or not? A super. Yeah. I haven't read the official description of anything. I read the press release. I know what happened, but there was a Mario 35th anniversary presentation today. You woke up to do it. Give me. You can go top level of what you describe it as, and I'll go through everything here that they wrote up.
So it was labeled as a Super Mario Direct. So not a Nintendo Direct.
Okay.
Super Mario 35th anniversary Direct. Made a ton of announcements. It was 16 minutes. It was just a video that dropped. It wasn't a live stream at all. No promotion for this going into it whatsoever, which Nintendo's been kind of playing with, but this is the most they've ever done where it's like, hey, we're going to make a whole bunch of announcements. This is the first time they've ever done it for a direct, like of something of real substance. Like,
yeah,
we've gotten it for like a trailer for Paper Mario, which is huge. And we've gotten it for like direct minis or partner showcases. But even those, usually they tease a couple hours beforehand or whatever. This one just, boom, dropped. Here it is. Here's a bunch of announcements. And I think that worked out to their advantage in a lot of ways. Like there's a lot of talk about this right now.
Yes, there is.
A lot to talk about with this direct, Greg.
You want to start going through it? Because there is a lot of information
here. Let's start with like going down up, essentially. From what you have here. So like there's a ton of events happening with the video games that exist in the Nintendo ecosystem. Pretty much if there's a game that can have a Mario implementation in the next 6 months, it's going to.
Getting Splatfest January 2021, right? Super Smash Brothers Ultimate's going to have an in-game online tournament. What is this going on? You're talking jump all around, do this. The Super Mario Kart Tour is getting an event. Most importantly, however, March of next year, Super Mario themed furniture will be available in Animal Crossing New Horizons. Fuck yeah. Sign me up. That I read through it all and I'm like, yeah, I'll play these games. I'll do this thing. And then I was like that. I'm like, there we go. Perfect. Let's go. Let's go, Mario.
They got you. And that's the thing. With the announcements they made today, there's a little something for everybody somewhere.
Yeah. And
that's why I tweeted this out earlier, but it's like Nintendo is like family. It's like everything they do makes me love them and hate them more. Like there's so much here that I'm so stoked about.
It's like Kevin.
It's exactly like Kevin and Nintendo are very similar in my life. But looking through with this, there's some fun things they're doing. There's you can get some pins. Nintendo's bringing back actual My Nintendo physical rewards for stuff. You have to accomplish a whole bunch of Mario related tasks and you get these like actually really dope pins, one based off the original five Mario games or the core Mario games at least. Then the Super Mario Brothers 35 was announced, which is essentially Tetris 99, but for Mario. And I don't know if you saw the trailer for this, Greg, but it
looks awesome.
Exact same setup as Tetris 99 layout wise. And it's just Mario 1 being kind of like remixed a bit with like different things, and you're sending enemies to other people's screens. It looks like chaos. It looks freaking awesome.
That was the one I watched the trailers today, and that was the one I was like, oh fuck, I want to play that right now. I want to play that right away.
And you won't have to wait long. October 1st, digital only game exclusive to Nintendo Switch Online members. The game will be playable until March 31st, 2021. That's a really weird asterisk that we're definitely going to come back to.
I was going to say, save all the vaulting. Yeah, March 31st is a thing that's happening a few times in here, and people weren't thrilled about it.
And in addition to that, another talking point is this is exclusive to Nintendo Switch Online. Uh-huh. Every September is when people's Switch Online start expiring, and Nintendo always starts adding something.
What a surprise, yeah.
And traditionally, it has been. Here's the NES catalog. Here's the SNES catalog. Tetris 99. And now it's this. And it's just like, this is cool, but it's not an N64 catalog. It's not a Game Boy catalog. You know, there's so many things it could be that this is great, but I do want a little bit more.
Okay.
Then moving on from that, another very similar thing, Game & Watch, Super Mario Brothers. This new collectible device is inspired by the original Game & Watch systems. The original handheld device included a game it could be used to watch as a watch to tell time. This one you can use as a clock with like little Mario themes. You can also play Mario 1, the original Mario 2 from Japan, and this game of ball with a Mario makeover, which is one of the classic Game & Watch games. And it is $50 coming out November 13th. And this is one of those things where like, oh man, I wonder if we're going to get a Game Boy Classic. Are we going to get an N64 Classic? No, we're just going to get a Game & Watch Mario thing.
As much as we love to hate him, Jeffy Grub had a great tweet today, which was the Simpsons monkey paw image of Bart making a wish on it from that Treehouse of Horror of, I wish for a Nintendo Classic handheld all-in-one system. And then the screenshot of the Game & Watch. It was like, God damn it.
This is cool. It's a fun collectible. And I think that this is a great way to celebrate Mario and the anniversary and all that stuff. And if you're into kitschy collectible stuff like this, this is a fun thing, especially for Nintendo historians, you know? But again, not necessarily what the majority of people would have preferred.
Sure.
That's
safe to say.
And then something that was definitely the biggest
brand
roller
new
coaster
okay
that we went on today is Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Created in partnership with Velen Studios, Mario Kart Live Home Circuit brings the fun of Mario Kart into the real world by using a Nintendo Switch or Switch Lite system to race against opponents using a physical kart. The physical kart responds to boosts in-game and in the real world, stops when hit with an item, and can be affected in different ways depending on the race. Players place gates to create a custom course layout in their home where the only limit is their imagination. Race against Koopalings in Grand Prix, unlock a variety of course customizations and costumes for Mario or Luigi, and play with up to four players in local multiplayer. It comes out on October 16th for $100, and you get either a Mario set or a Luigi set. We did see them playing together in the trailer. Did you see this, Greg?
I did, and I was like, what? They talked to me about the roller coaster because I haven't seen the live reaction. I went and watched all the trailers and stuff. But what was the roller coaster for you? Thinking it was going to be a new cart, and then it was in terms an RC game?
The roller coaster was, we see it, and it was Mario Kart sounds, Mario Kart imagery, and it's like Mario Kart. But even from the get-go, we knew it wasn't a Mario Kart. Like something about it. It was just like, there's some AR stuff going on. Like, I'm not really sure what's happening here. Then it became pretty clear pretty fast. Like, holy shit, this is going to be a remote control car of Mario Kart. And it's like, that's cool for kids, whatever. But then it was like, oh shit, the Switch stuff wasn't just like a gimmicky, fun, like visualization. It's like that there's a game here where they're actually using remote control cars. And then we're like, but how's that going to work? How's it going to know? And then they put down the goalposts to make the tracks. And it's like, wow, if this works 90% as well as this thing's showing, this is going to be the coolest kids toy of all time. Like, I can't even imagine
you right now, the trailer, if you want to go to your personal Slack there and see what's up. Because I think, yeah, it is one of those. If you are a YouTube watcher or a Twitch watcher, it's worth seeing if you haven't. Because I feel you of that first opening screenshot of it, or the first opening screen of it. It looks like, so wait, is this a track or is it? And then, no, it is a track inside your house. And then, yeah, how is this going to stream and how is this going to feel and how latent is the video coming off of it, right?
Yeah, it's just... it's such a cool idea, and I think that, you know, for a lot of our generation of people, this is potentially fun afternoon, and then we put the thing away and never think about it again.
Sure.
But
for a kid,
but imagine being a kid, like being able to put these things out anywhere, setting up like your action figures as like obstacles and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Man, like there's so much fun to be had.
There's no way that it works this well, right?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Do you think there's any chance you can play with someone else if they have the Luigi one?
Yeah, he said that you see it in the trailer, you said, right, Tim?
Yeah, they showed them putting two down. Yeah, look.
Right here.
I see.
Yeah. But pretty damn cool, right?
They love
right?
their cardboard stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I want to bring up is I've already seen a lot of people being kind of snarky about this on Twitter, and it's just like...
No,
well,
Twitter being snarky about video games?
Nintendo has proven, like, I think that if anything, Ring Fit Adventure has proven that Nintendo sometimes will make decisions and we look at them like, what the fuck are you doing? Who would ever want to do this? And then it's
you're
the
lining up
thing.
Paying triple on eBay for it.
Yeah, it's like, it's pretty nuts. But man, look at this, Greg. Like this.
Yeah,
cool
no,
shit.
I'm with you. Totally. It's the normal thing where it's like, I don't, not normal, I guess. It's very cool. And yeah, it's not something I'm going to buy or be down for. I love Mario Kart. It's not made for me. And that's great. That's fine. If I had kids, right? If I had a 7-year-old, right?
But
they fucking
thing,
love
you're
this.
Gonna someday, maybe. You know what I mean? This I've might not be sold anymore. Who knows? Yeah, well, maybe March they get rid of it.
Kevin, I already have a closet full of Ghostbuster Playmobil for my unconceived children. All right. Like, I can't also start putting away Switch things because then I got to hold on to the Switch too.
Right. And I'm sure they're going to love their Playmobil that don't connect to the TV at all, huh?
If they don't love the Ghostbusters Playmobil, I'll tell you what, adoption. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's safe drop spots. I see them all the time. The firehouses walk over and drop them.
That's a bad joke.
7-year-old kid.
Standing there with a bag of Playmobil.
Hope you figure out to love him in your next house.
I hope I get a chance to play with this thing because the idea of setting up a course in my house unbeknownst to Gia makes me very
happy.
Moose
running and just around.
Moose is like the thwomp just running out. I love it. But yeah, so that was kind of a cool thing. Let's see what else we got to jump around to. Something that is probably one of the sleeper hits for me personally is Super Mario All-Stars. The original SNES version is available today. On the Nintendo Switch Online.
And see, you SNES talk shit version. About Nintendo Switch Online not adding anything. There you go. Bam. That's why you do it right here. Get your
great, great. Let's still drip feed Super Nintendo games. Like, goddamn, guys, come on. But I will say, I never expected to see this. This is a game that very rarely gets kind of like looked back on because they would much prefer just put out the game separately on the NES.
Buy them individually.
Right? You know, when you look at these games, something that I always think is interesting, and like I have such a soft spot for this game in particular because it's my first video game I ever owned was Super Mario All-Stars. And like I still have that cart. And by the way, Greg, I need to talk to you about this. A new Tim Nitti scheme.
Okay.
I have so many things checked off my bucket list. I need to get this thing signed by Miyamoto. How do I make that happen? If you guys have any connections, let me know. All right. I want to get on this and figure it out.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah.
It seems like you already have ideas.
Of course I do.
Good.
He's reaching into the void, you know?
Number one. Go to Japan.
Go to Japan. That's a good idea. That is
not now, guys. Not right now.
In Japan. No, not right now. That's the problem, right?
What I appreciate about this is back on the Game Boy Advance, I don't know if you remember, Greg, but they pretty much one by one released all these games as separate cartridges and with enhancements and with like new gold Yoshi coins and like more things to do and all that stuff. They never re-released Mario 1 in this style. So the only places to play Mario 1 in SNES graphics was either on the Super Nintendo or when they did the port of this to the Wii back for Mario's other anniversary. I forgot which one that was. When they just took the ROM of the game and put it on a disc and sold it to people for $40 for a limited time. All right. Then the two biggest announcements
Get to the heart of the matter
are the new games. The first one they showed off was Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. This is coming February 12th, 2021, which is a bummer. I'm going to say it. Especially after waiting so long this year, okay, you're going to celebrate Mario's anniversary weeks before you take it away from us in March. You know,
well, this is one of the ones that has to be like this whole thing is affected by COVID, it seems, right? Like that's absolutely what saying. Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, I also don't trust that fully. Like, I wonder when this game would have came out otherwise, because like this does feel like a January Nintendo game when you look at their history.
Yeah.
They released Mario Wii U in January as well. And this to me should have came out this January. And like, you know, enjoyed the entire success of Mario's glorious 35th anniversary.
But it's February. Mario. That's close enough to January.
Yeah, it's February the next year.
Nah, it's close enough though. It's close enough.
That's 12 months away.
It's 13, isn't it?
Well, I mean, depending on how you're looking at it. But this is cool because this game's fucking amazing. This is one of the best Wii U games. It's one of the best Mario games, and it's so underlooked, undervalued because it was stuck on the Wii U. Uh-huh. People are going to love it. I think that
it's a great game. A new
home on the Switch is going to be great for it. And the big question
for that crown, man.
The big question I had was, does it have online? It does say it has online, so that's awesome. I hope it works. I don't trust it's going to, but the co-op in this game is fantastic. And it's going to be awesome to be able to play it with real pro controllers, because that was another big issue that the Wii U had was people would get stuck with like, oh man, I have these like leftover Wiimotes from back in the day. Like, I guess you're using that. Like, it was never ideal because no one had four pro controllers on the Wii U.
What's the word on Bowser's Fury?
So Bowser's Fury, they just teased it. It just seems like it's going to be some type of expansion from 3D World. I don't know. It looks cool though. It looks like we saw like a 30-second tease of it, and it was like Cat Mario walking up to like what looks like the entrance to like a new world. Okay. And so I imagine we'll get like another world of gameplay out of this. But it looks like a very different tone than what the game traditionally has. Like, you know, remember in Odyssey when you get to like Bowser's world and it like was a super dope samurai looking thing?
Yeah.
It was not that far, but like it was like a cool thing where I'm like, oh, this looks different than the rest of the game.
Gotcha.
But it was clearly a tease, and I think that they think it's really cool because they're not showing it to us for a reason.
It's not so done.
I'm stoked for that. But then the one, big one. The big one. I mean, it's debatable if it's the big one.
Oh man, I thought you'd be more juiced.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Optimized versions of 3D Mario games, Super Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy 1 are coming to Nintendo Switch in one package. In addition to having higher resolutions than the original versions, the games have been optimized for a smooth gameplay experience on Nintendo Switch. Super Mario 3D All-Stars also includes an in-game music player mode to play the music and songs from all three games. They can listen to it outside just like they could in Super Smash Bros. A limited production of Mario 3D All-Stars launches exclusively on the Switch on September 18th. One day before Kevin's mom's birthday, and will be available until approximately March 31st, 2021, in both physical and digital versions.
Yay, Tim, this is good. This is what you wanted. It's the Mario 3D All-Stars. You wanted these games. They're Mario Sunshine. You've been defending for years on Kinda Funny. There it is. We're all going to play it again, have a new conversation about it. Why are you going to be all curmudgeonly over there? What's happening? What's wrong?
I don't want to. Here's the thing, Greg. Look, yeah. this is the Kevin thing, the love and hate thing, the family.
Sure,
thing,
sure, right? Sure.
I love this. And I've seen a lot of people online saying, like, I'm going to buy this. I'm here talking shit about this or that, but I'm going to buy it. So I'm part of the problem. I'm stoked about this. I love these games. Having a way to play Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy again is very exciting to me. It's been way too long. I'm all about being able to play the games that I love on a modern system. I feel sure. like that's super important, and it's something that I do care about a lot and go back to. And it's just been too difficult for those games. This packaging is extremely disappointing from many different ways you look at it. I mean, let's just start with the available until March 31st thing. That's sure. the thing I care about least, personally, because that doesn't affect me much. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to have it. This is going to affect a lot of other people. This is a baffling decision. I don't really truly understand why they're making this decision. People are bringing up the Disney Vault thing. I don't think it's that. I'm not sure what it is.
Real quick for me to interject. And I'm sorry. I you know that my nostalgia was with Sega, so it leaves me in these things. What for All Star, for the original Mario All Stars, was it not a limited run? Was it just hard to come by? Like, what, isn't there something about that one being hard to obtain in some way?
So the Wii port of Mario All Stars.
Which, by the way, Kebabs wrote into You're Wrong to say that was for Mario's 25th anniversary 10 years ago.
Yeah, Mario's 25th anniversary, they took the ROM of the Super Nintendo game, Mario All-Stars, and put it on the Wii, and it was limited. It was a special fund. We're just celebrating Mario. Here it is. Take it. And that was cool. It was whatever.
Sure.
But the problem that I'm having with this remake is... Actually, let's keep talking about the March 31st thing. What's your take on that?
It's all money. Like, I think I see the Disney Vault thing, and I think that's how Nintendo intends, and I haven't seen it. Maybe they've already put out statements and stuff, but I think that's how I would try to explain it, of like, listen, this is a special occasion. It's his 35th anniversary. We want to do this, but we want these to be a moment in time. We want this to be an anniversary you can, you know, share and celebrate and yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. I think in reality, what is it is, of course, that the fiscal year ends March 31st. So let's fucking spike these numbers. It's been like, you know what I mean? I'm not, by no means has Nintendo languished this year, right? You see it with the Switch is the best-selling console, NPD this month, Animal Crossing and New Horizons setting all these records, Paper Mario, third best-selling game its debut month, right? Like, it's still, though, is that thing when people look at Nintendo this year, they've said, well, where are the games? Where's the Switch Pro? Why are they being so quiet? Why weren't they at E3? Like, it's not the traditional Nintendo year for them. And while it's been a successful year for them, I think they want to run up the numbers as much as they can to make the year be as good as possible for their shareholders and company. And there's not anything necessarily wrong with that. Obviously, that's business. This isn't a charity case out here for making video games, even though it's the mixture of art and business. But I totally think this is a thing of, listen, we understand that you are a video game player. You're probably going to be saving money to buy a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X. We understand that this is something you could look at and go, oh, well, old game is old. I'll get it later. I'll save up my Nintendo coins and get it later. I'll save up my money. I'll put it on for Christmas next year. I'll wait till the summer when there's less going on. Like, they look at that whole thing and they're like, how do we compete this holiday and make our financials not look weak in the holiday when we don't have a Breath of the Wild 2 when we're just putting out Pikmin? I think they do this so that you have to go get this game now, and you have to buy it now, and you have to give them their money now.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think that I don't expect we're going to see too much more of this. I think that they just see it because of they've done it before with other Mario All-Stars, so it kind of just makes sense to treat the anniversary like a special thing. And they're also doing it with the Mario 35 thing,
which is super weird because it's unplayable. But again, it's like because it's not even that you can't get it, or we're going to remove it from Nintendo Switch Online. It's like, you won't be able to play it after March 31st, right? Which is like really weird, because that's a really cool idea. But again, I guess it's like, it's a very aggressive way to compete for mindshare of like, I think that a great example right now is what?
You said it's unplayable. So if you own it, you still can't play it?
It's a Nintendo Switch Online game, so technically, I mean, yes. So even if you had it downloaded, you won't be able to play it. That's how they say it. The game will be unplayable. The game will be playable. I apologize. Till March 31st, 2021, rendering it unplayable.
To be clear, we're talking about Mario 35. We're not talking about All Stars.
Correct. Yeah. Which is what we switched the game, right?
And we're not sure that they're going to just switch to Mario 36.
What, Kevin?
I was saying, like, wouldn't, if that's the new fiscal year, wouldn't it be Mario 36 at that point? Just add one more player.
Okay, sure. Well. So no, but we had already switched gears to 35, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying there's some people in the chat would.
Gotcha. Just making sure. So back to my examples of, I mean, I think it's competing for mindshare or whatever. Again, like, how do you, if you're Nintendo and you don't have a new console and you don't have a major AAA first party release for the fall, like, how do you compete with new consoles and the hype around that and third party AAA stuff? This is one way to do it. Where, again, to the point I was about to make was, I'm obsessed with Avengers right now. Having such a good time with it. It's all I want to play, right? And guess what? Tell me why Chapter 2 drops today. And I fucking really dug Chapter 1, especially how it ended. I am not playing Chapter 2 anytime soon. Like, I'm not. Where am I going to? I have 3 hours of game time. I'd rather dedicate it to grinding something in Avengers right now. And so, like, that's an argument you could apply to this, right? Of, like, 35 in particular, of why I guess it's it could be unplayable is, like, we put work into this. We don't want it to be something that you go, oh, I'll get to later. I'll get to it later. Like, you have an expiration date. You have to play this in this time if you want it.
Yeah. I'm not so upset about the 35 thing because I'm like, I do think that is a online. It's a moment. It's an experience they're giving you. It's an event.
Yeah.
And they're treating it that way. But when it comes to 3D All-Star stuff, like, I don't necessarily think you're wrong, but I also don't think you're right about the fiscal year stuff with all of it. Like, Nintendo's so weird, and like, I think they're looking at this year as a major success. And I think that I think that we need to be consistent in our criticism of Nintendo and the things that they're doing and why they're doing them. And I feel like saying, like, oh, they're doing this for the money and all that, it's like, it doesn't feel consistent with the Nintendo we've seen this year that seems to be coasting on its successes. Right. So I just feel like,
but is it coasting on your successes, or is it like, well, I mean, I don't even think coasting on your successes is just like what you're able to put out this year did well. I feel like that's, I don't think this is like a nefarious twist your mustache move for them as much as they're like, let's get people to buy this while we have a fiscal year that doesn't have AAA stuff. Because theoretically, next year is, we have the Switch Pro and we have Breath of the Wild 2 and we have stuff we don't have to worry about anymore.
At some point with Nintendo, I want to stop being like, oh, it's going to be next year. Oh, you know what? All the virtual console stuff. Next time they're going to be here next time. No, it's like I've been waiting for Mario 64 to come to the Switch for a long time. And this isn't a thing about like, oh, I got hyped up about rumors and it wasn't what I wanted it to be. This is about, regardless of whether you're right or wrong, Greg, about the money side of it, this is a disappointing product that they are putting out as collection of these games, where Mario 64 is literally just the original Mario 64 in 4:3. It is not widescreen.
I gotcha.
It's like, are you kidding me? Like, that is such a basic thing. Especially, Kev, please bring up the video I sent to Assets. Like, with the PC port thing that just happened and like got taken down and all that stuff. Like, people have been working on putting 4K textures into this. Scroll ahead just a little bit right after the scene where he pops out.
Yeah,
of
there. Mario.
Like, this looks fucking awesome. It takes the art style and it just enhances it and makes it beautiful. I don't even need it to look this good, but just add something. Don't just give me a ROM dump of this game that I can play in so many other places. And moving on then to Sunshine. Cool. Sunshine looks great. It is widescreen. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Galaxy 2, widescreen as well. Looks awesome. Galaxy as well.
Because that was the other thing I saw people flipping out about Galaxy 2 not being out there.
And so this is twofold for me, where it's like, all right, with Galaxy, it's like, all right, so do we need to use the Joy-Con as waggle or not? Because you guys are being really cagey and weird about how you're phrasing this. Because on the website, it's saying you have to. But that's kind of implying it's only for the two-player mode. So we'll see. Okay. But what's the point of putting this game? Like, how are you going to say that in addition to having higher resolutions than the original versions, the game has been optimized for a smooth gameplay experience on Nintendo Switch? If Galaxy is not playable with the Pro Controller on the Nintendo Switch, it is not an optimized experience on the Nintendo Switch. And they know that. And I'm putting this out there right now. I could be wrong. We don't have enough information to go off. That totally might be the case, in which case I take everything I'm saying back about Galaxy in particular. But then you move on, Galaxy 2. Where are you? Not only is it not in this, in the end, they had this like medley where they showed a montage of like all the core Mario games and it wasn't even in it. Like, they're trying, Nintendo's, they fucking know, and they're not putting it in there. When we got Mario All-Stars on the Super Nintendo, it had all the Mario games.
Yes, it had all the Super Mario games. They don't put Super Mario Galaxy 2 in there so that in another 5 years they can put it out in an anniversary and everybody will be very excited to have Mario Galaxy 2.
I get that. And like that's my point is why I'm disappointed with this is I've already waited 5 years for this. I've already waited to get these games. And I'm getting them now in a way that isn't even – there's no pomp and circumstance. It's just here they are. They're together. There's no challenge mode. There's no added coins. There's no like fun thing. There's no Bowser's Fury style stuff. Nintendo knows how to do this. And it's literally just, oh, here's Mario 64 again. There's no like overarching like achievement system or trophy system within the games of like, here's different challenges and stuff. I just spent 20 minutes talking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater in the beginning of this.
Yeah, right.
And like, God, they fucking nailed it. You look back at what they did with the Crash Insane trilogy. Three fucking games from the ground up with added stuff on top of that. And then it's like some of the most iconic games of all time, Mario 64. And Andy was and I were talking about this, and he was saying how like with Mafia, like they're doing it where 2 and 3 are just kind of like, you know, the normal enhanced versions, but yeah. 1 is like a fun
one. Back and rebuilt. Yeah.
That's all I'm talking about for this Mario 64.
Sure, no, you're fair.
Give it the help. The other two, sure, you're doing fine with where you're at if Galaxy's playable with the Pro Controller. But yeah, then not having two, like when you look, and I know games have changed, but when you look back at the original All-Stars, they took NES games and they completely overhauled them to look like Super Nintendo games. They had different looks entirely. Like yeah. That like was an old school version of like an HD remake, right? Now we get this and it's just like, it just screams of laziness and it screams of just like, this is cash grabby to me. And it's like, cool, they grabbed my cash. I want to play these games. Like the,
on your current system,
you know? But it's just like, for how long I've waited for this, it's I can't say it's not disappointing, you know? Wow. And it's like, in fact, it's the excitement for me is getting a lot lower where it's like the ramifications of what this means for the Nintendo Switch ecosystem of, all right, so not that I would expect it now anymore, but it looks like we're not going to get an N64 Nintendo Switch Online library if they're going to put this here. Unless they do after March 31st. So, okay, cool, great. Wait another 6 months, and then they might do this, and then they might trickle feed these games. It's 2020, man. Nintendo has shown they get it for so many things and have used the Switch and the entire ecosystem as a perfect way to kind of gain back so much of the will that they lost during the Wii U era. And then to see them continually now, 3 years into the Switch's life, still be making some of these like very, very, very clear, upsetting decisions. Like I just don't get it. And again, it's family. I'm stoked about this. This game comes out in 2 weeks. I can't wait to play.
It almost calls back to, I think, some of your criticisms when we were coming into the Avengers, right? Like when we were doing the beta and the things where you're like, yeah, this looks like whatever and this is fine. And I'm going to play it, but it's not what I wanted. Right, like you wanted so much more from this Mario collection, or what you'd think you'd get from a 2020 Mario collection.
I think it's different because it's not only is it not what I wanted, because to be clear, you're right, it's not what I wanted.
Yeah,
but it's not what it should be. This should be more. This is a $60 game, you guys. $60 for an N64 game that we've bought 10 times already. For $5 on the Wii U, it's like, cool, you're that. It's the first time we're getting Mario Sunshine, a GameCube game, and Mario Galaxy, a game that came out in 2006 on the Wii. $60. And for what? Them packaged together with these enhancements that I still don't know the facts on. Right? Hopefully someone's going to wrong me with Link. I'm really hoping. And what do they add? Like, what's the way you celebrate Mario's 35th anniversary in addition to that? Oh, you can listen to the game music using the thing. That's it. Cool. Great. $60. Limited time, too. On top of all this, there's other weird buffoonery that, like, at the very least is bizarre. And at the most is anti-consumer. I fucking said it, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. You hit the Kinda Funny Games Daily bingo card. We got it all in there. Real fast, when you were talking, I want to toss this in there. Stead John At wrote in and said, Game Explained did an update on stuff Nintendo didn't include in the Mario stream. 3D World has online co-op, and you can play Galaxy without motion controls.
Thank God.
They're saying, cool. And I trust in Game Explained, so if they're great. Saying go get him. And then Nano's linking to an Ars Technica thing here. Tim, I'm gonna put this in Slack for you. So if you want to look over this article, well, hold on. Yeah, there you are. Give that to you in Slack. And while you look that over, we're going to take a break in the middle of a rope report to pay some bills. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is sponsored by Brooklinen. Fall's right around the corner, and what better time to refresh your space than with a fresh new season. We're talking about all new super soft bedding, towels, and even loungewear. If you're going to sit back and admire your new digs, you might as well be insanely comfortable doing it. Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brooklinen's got over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. And because they love a deal more than they are almost as much as they love comfort. Brooklinen's Labor Day event is happening this weekend, featuring everything you need to outfit your home this season at a fraction of the price. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. I'm Greg Miller, and I only sleep on Brooklinen sheets because when I liked them so much when I ordered them online, and they're so soft and so good looking that when we strip the bed, we wash them immediately, then put them back on the bed. And I now use only Brooklinen towels because they're so comfortable and absorbent. We're all spending so much time at home nowadays. Why not upgrade your homes with Brooklinen? Their Labor Day event is coming this weekend, and it's a big one. Don't miss out on the big savings on all things sheets, towels, loungewear, and so much more. And if you can't wait, you can get 10% off your first order and free shipping right now when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Then we're talking about Logitech. As all of you know, I was talking about it yesterday. I like the Logitech Pro X gaming headset, right? That's the one I have. Oh, you have is that the new one that we're advertising now or the one I have at the office? Is it wired or wireless?
This one's wired.
Okay, great. That's
the one. It becomes wireless though.
Then that is the new one then. Okay. I have that at the office that I use for my PlayStation 4. It's got a noise-canceling blue mic. It's great, but it's wired. We're now talking, though, about the Pro X Wireless Lightspeed Gaming Headset. Based on the award-winning Pro Gaming Headset design that Greg has, Pro X Wireless Headset features high-quality material, advanced communications, precision audio, and total wireless freedom. It's a high-performance Pro X gaming headset with light-speed wireless technology and up to 20-plus hours of battery life. It also features a detachable pro-grade microphone featuring real-time Blue Voice technology, including passive noise isolation, compressor, limiter, and for clean professional voice comms. Oh, and more. It doesn't stop there, as it's also advanced Pro G 50mm drivers, and I love drivers, which deliver clear and precise sound imaging with improved bass response. Hear footsteps and environmental clues with clarity to give you the competitive advantage. You can also experience this headset's supreme comfort and durability. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners 10% off select products at logitechg.com. Use the promo code KFGAMES for 10% off today. That's 10% off select Logitech G products with the promo code KFGAMES. And our final sponsor today is Hims. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. If you need help with hair loss, ED, or have a cold, interested in mental health or COVID-19 home tests, Hims is here for you. We all know the story, of course. Andy and Nick noticed a thinning hairline. They went to 4hims.com. They talked to a doctor. He said, this is great for you. He then prescribed them generic equivalents to well-known name brands at a fraction of the cost. And now Hims is keeping Andy and Nick's hair healthy and full. 66% of men start to lose their hair by the age 35. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss, and they have thousands of happy customers loving their results. If approved, products will be shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging. Today, Hims is offering you their best gift offer yet. And I screwed it up. Hims is giving you their best offer yet. See, I put the offer and the gift in different places. If you're not happy with your results after 90 days, Hims will give you a full refund. And right now, our listeners can get their first visit absolutely free. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Full refund of price paid available for the first 90 days supply. Refund request must be made between 90 and 180 days after the product shipment is delivered. Prescription products require an online consultation with a medical professional who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See the website for full details and safety information. Again, 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Tim, did you find anything else on Ars Technica?
No, that just seems to kind of just reiterate a lot of the same things we were talking about. I do want to bring up a couple more points. I know I'm going off on this.
Do your thing, bro.
Very passionate.
Hey, when there's Nintendo news, this is what people want from you.
So one thing, when we were doing the reaction, someone in the chat was like, at least they're not charging full price separately for these. At least it's all together. And it's like, no way in fuck could they have ever done that. Like, we need to look at what this package actually is. Not what it was rumored to be, not what we want it to be, but like what it actually is. And Agamazify in the chat says, Tim is crazy if he thought Nintendo would sell a full remake of 64 with Sunshine, Galaxy 1, and 2 all for $60. Nintendo would just sell the 64 remake for $60. And I don't think you're wrong. Like, that's the thing, is knowing Nintendo, they would damn right do that shit. And honestly, hopefully, I'd imagine they'd make it worth it, because they know that they couldn't have just done that and put it out. They would have to add stuff. They'd have to add new levels. They'd have to add a fucking funky mode or some shit.
Like, funky Kong.
They clearly get this, because every time they've done the Wii U ports, they add something. They add either a mode or more gameplay, right? The Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Like Pikmin's going to have more stuff. We got all the new Super Mario Brothers with Luigi U. They keep doing this. So for me, I'm looking at this. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy was $40 for three games from the ground up. Why is that different?
I have no idea.
Like, do you think it's different at all? Like, the difference is it's Mario, it's Nintendo. But like, Mario 64, N64 launch game versus three PlayStation 1 games fully remade, $40. Versus a
Nintendo knows what they can get. Nintendo knows what they can get out of Nintendo fans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, though, like, even looking recently, like Resident Evil, you can get Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6. Those are much later gen games for the most part.
Yeah.
$40 on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is such a bad value. Like, it's so ridiculous. And it doesn't even have Mario Galaxy 2. Insane.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Insane.
I have people arguing against the Pro Controller thing, so everybody stay tuned to see what Game Explains final word is, and then you can watch videos and figure it out. Lord of Pwn has a year wrong too. Mario Galaxy was released November 27th or 2007, not 2006, like we said. And then Kebabs tries to quote that you can still download and play Super Mario 3D All-Stars after the 31st. Again, I think you got confused there in the chat. We switched when we were talking about unplayable to being Super Mario Brothers 35, the Battle Royale one that's on Nintendo Switch Online. That is around till March 31st, 2021. Then it's taken off of Nintendo Switch Online and you can't play it after the fact. That is via Nintendo's press release. But who would have thought announcing all these different games would make it confusing? I digress. I'm sure we'll be talking more and more about this as we get more and more details. Tim, I'm sorry your dreams turned into nightmares and that you're still going to pay.
It is fucking upsetting, man. But I get that there's a large group of people that should be excited about this. A lot of people have never played Galaxy, have never played Sunshine, have talked shit about Sunshine forever, and like are realizing they're missing out on a game that's actually pretty good. Like, there's a lot there. I'm just saying that I'm upset about this as a Nintendo fan that has played these games a bunch of times.
Sure.
That specifically Mario 64, there's a level of expectation, especially with all the hubbub of the PC port the last couple of months, that just adds up to a bad taste in my mouth.
Moving on. Number three on the Roper Report, and we'll go quickly here. The Division 2 is getting a new PvE endgame. Jordan Olleman over at IGN writes, a PvE endgame mode set in a 100-floor skyscraper is coming to the Division 2 in a future update. The summit will arrive as part of the Division 2's Title Update 11 and was revealed during a State of the Game live stream, which is over on the Ubisoft YouTube channel. The summit is a PvE mode focused on adding replayability to the endgame by offering environments that change between floors, alternating factions, and new objectives, ensuring each trip through the building is different. Players are tasked with clearing all 100 floors of the occupied skyscraper, with rally points and tricky boss battles appearing on every 10th floor to gate progress. It's going to be free for players who own Warlords of New York's expansion. It's on the test servers for PC very soon. A cross-platform release date for the new mode has not been pinned down yet. That's cool. That's exciting. I know I'm the Division fan out of the two of us. I also know we've gone late. I haven't played Division 2 in a while. I liked the season pass stuff they had dropped in. I was doing the manhunts for a while there. I'll jump in to try this, but now I'm an Avenger, and I'd rather be an Avenger. I have one games as a service obsession as we go.
And that's rough with the games as a service thing, where it's like you really can't focus on too many at once, if even more than one, right?
Yeah.
So, I see him still kicking, though. Good for them.
Inhaled a bug or something. I don't know. Maybe just a ash. You know,
you got a little bug snack?
Bung, snake. Number four on the Roper Report. Rocket League is dropping the PlayStation Plus and Nintendo Switch online requirements. This is Matthew Handrahan over at GamesIndustry.biz. Psyonix is dropping PlayStation Plus and Nintendo Switch online when it makes Rocket League free to play later this year. That about sums it up. There's a more reporting and dates on there and stuff like that, but you understand it. They put up a blog post, apparently. Psyonix confirmed that subscriptions to those services will no longer be required when Rocket League switches to be free to play. So, good news there as well. If you're going free to play, that makes perfect sense of why would you make people pay for it.
Yeah.
Even in general, the PlayStation Plus Xbox Live Gold thing is so antiquated at this point. No, Tim? I feel like it is.
Yeah.
It's totally an interesting thing I never think about because obviously I subscribe to them and just auto-renew and never worry about it. But it's a weird thing when you break it down, especially when you talk about something free to play like Fortnite or now Rocket League.
Yeah, it is weird. I wonder, next gen, man. It's going to bring some next new gen, stuff. Man. But next gen, it really is so far away.
Tim, if I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Kevin, turn it off. You know I hate this. This is for Tim, not for me. You know I hate that. Out today, Mask of Mists on Xbox One and Switch. Good pizza. Great pizza on Switch, which, yes, I do have a review code for, and I have it already loaded. When I'll have the time to play it, I don't know, but that is my kind of game. Making pizzas, let's go. Spellbreak, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. WRC 9, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Spinch on Switch and PC.
Banch.
Tohu Luna Nights, Xbox One. Connection Haunted on Switch. Niche, a genetic survival game on Switch. Maze Breaker 3 on Switch. Under the Jolly Roger on Switch. Secret Files 3 on Switch. Jelly Champs on Switch. Perfect Traffic Simulator on Switch. Here Be Dragons on Switch. My War on PC. That's just the Greg Miller story. 20 Minute Metropolis, the Action City Builder on PC. Rogue Summoner on PC. Porchy on PC. Crafting the Abyss on PC. This week in I gotta go, Tim.
Is that great? Goes out?
I don't know what's going on. I definitely inhaled something. You got to do it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Going on. We got Ease Origin coming to Nintendo Switch October 1st. Space MMO game, CSC. Leave Steam. Early access September 3rd. Space
Robinson. You're way off. This week on GTA Online brings a wealth of new bonuses and discounts to Diamond Casino Resort and all that crap as usual. Total War Three Kingdoms, the Furious Wild expansion is now available. Then new dates. Cloudpunk is coming to Xbox One, PS4, Switch on October 15th. Yee's Origin is coming on to Nintendo Switch October 1st. Space MMO game CSC leaves early access September 3rd. Space Robinsons drops on Switch September 10th. Fuser comes out on November 10th. And Minecraft Live has been announced. It's going to be a Minecraft live stream talking about what's going on in Minecraft. It's going to be October 3rd at 12 Eastern, minecraft.net/live. Yeah, at one point I made a joke and I turned like this. I don't know what I inhaled, but I inhaled something. Must have been a bug.
We'll have to roll back. Look at the footage. Corey Cudney, where you at?
Corey Cudney, we need a back and to the left breakdown of what just happened to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Tim, I see you already in there. A lot of editorializing going on. Anything jumping out at you right now?
Bunch of bullshit. I'll tell you that, Greg.
Whoa!
Yeah. No. Epic Dude 456 just says, Tim said the Resident Evil games on Switch being $40, they're now $20 digital for each title. I think that was always the case. You can get the bundle for $40 or individual for $20, which either way, that if Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy separately were put out how they are in this collection, they should be $20 each. I stand by that.
Yeah, a bunch of pricing stuff here. Super Mario Galaxy is $35 pre-owned at GameStop, according to Lord of Pone. This is somebody arguing with you. This is going on here. What's this one here? Nanobiologist says, regarding Rocket League and online services, you still need to pay for Xbox Live Gold to play online, even for free games. Free games cannot be played online without gold. Yes, remember, we were being clear that Rocket League's dropping it for PlayStation Plus and Nintendo Switch online. Good note there that Xbox Live still requires that, which is weird.
It is weird.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Didn't really screw up much. Believe it or not, the week's still not over. I don't know how this happened either. But tomorrow, blessing of myself, will be here to host this show with you. and we will be having a good time. However, remember, the fun's not over yet for this episode. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and catch our post show. If you can also get the show ad free. You can also ask questions. You can also be a pal and toss us a few bucks and help us out. But if you can't, no big deal. You can watch live twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, later youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and Rooster Teeth podcast services around the globe each and every weekday as Kind of Funny Games Daily brings you the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.